you glad that he was broken and spilled out for you and for me, and that he was so willing to do that for us. Praise the Lord. As she said, and I have duly been warned tonight, the other day Hugo came in, I guess it was yesterday, and he says, honey, he says, are you about ready for tomorrow night? And I said, well, I have about 4 pages so far. Do you think that'll be enough? And he says, yes, I really do. And he says, I certainly hope you don't get the button tonight. And if you don't know that little joke, there was a minister that was very long-winded, and he kept, you know, he'd get longer and longer sometime, and there were times when he wouldn't preach as long. And they finally figured out that someone at different points, some of his deacons slipped around and they'd give him a lifesaver. And they said, oh no, we know what happened tonight. He didn't get the lifesaver, he got the button, and it just wouldn't go away. So I didn't wear a coat with a pocket in it tonight, so anybody could slip me any lifesavers, but we'll just try to just give you the word as the Lord gives it to us. And also, there was a little boy that one time this church just dearly loved fellowship. After the services, they would quite often have coffee. And the pastor rose to the little boy and he says, say, son, do you know why we do the coffee after church? And the little boy kind of stood there for a minute and he says, sir, he says, I really don't know, unless it's just to get them wide awake but so they can see how to drive home. Well, tonight, I trust that we don't have to give you a cup of coffee to get you wide awake tonight. And I just trust that the anointing of the Lord will just be here in such a great way that you will be so wide awake. In fact, we're just depending on the anointing of the Holy Spirit so much tonight that we just dispense with a fellowship afterwards. So if you wanted that cup of coffee, you'll have to go to McDonald's or somewhere else tonight. But we do trust that you will be blessed, and we are blessed when we get into the Word of God. In the Assemblies of God this year, it's been known, and it's been set aside as a year of getting into God's Word and letting God's Word really penetrate our hearts and lives. And it's been, we've been admonished to ask everyone to read through the Bible this year. And I have gotten so excited as I have read through the Word. And I thought, Dolores, tonight you've got things to say from Genesis to Revelations. And oh man, I said, well, Lord, you know, kind of put a little shortening in this, so we'll see what happens. But there are over 32,000 promises in God's Word for us. So many of them are directly related to us, and we want to know what those are. And I think Tammy Grimes has a song that's out now that says you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. And that is very true. Unless we know what God's promises are for us, we cannot stand on them. And as a child, I came up singing the little chorus, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, all our blessings of his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. And I am just foolish enough tonight to let you know that I believe every promise that God's Word contains is for me, and it is for you. And I have found in his Word an answer to every situation. If I've ever had a problem, I could go to God's Word and I could find an answer there. And I didn't have to seek an outside source. A lot of times people say, well, you just have to go here and you have to go there. If you'll get out on your knees and go before the Lord and get before his Word, he will show you a lot of things. I was also brought up, we used to listen to the radio a lot. That was in the days before TVs, and I think sometimes that both of them can be a curse. But there was a Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff, and probably most of you came up hearing him sing. He used to sing, and his theme song when he came on was The Man of Blue Galilee. And he used to tell about how he would read God's Word, and he said, I read God's Word down on my knees, and I read it out loud. He said, that way I feel like I get God's Word coming and going, okay? How did he get it coming and going? He got it as it entered his eyes, went through his mouth, and it spoke it, and it just went on into his heart. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good thing. If we can just get it in to every area of our body, get God's Word in to know what his Word says. And if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, in the 9th chapter, we can find a promise that God made. And I heard someone almost refute this the other day. When we see a rainbow, what do people always think of? I know there are a lot of materialistic people, and they say, I see a pot of gold, and they'll go off chasing the end of that rainbow and never find the pot of gold that supposedly is there. But to those that know what God's word said, we know that that rainbow established a covenant with the children of man and the races of the earth, that God would never again destroy the entire world with a flood. It was his covenant. It was his promise unto man. And as we look at that in the 9th chapter, verses 13 to 17, and it says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. But the rainbow served two distinct purposes in this. First, it reminds us that God made a promise and that God will keep his promise. And then it also was a reminder to God when he might would get upset with us that he wouldn't do that. And once again, just wipe out the whole earth because of their disobedience. I'm sure there's times when God would say, oh Lord, let's just wipe them off. You know, they're just not going to serve me, so why don't we just turn it back on? But he won't do that. He's a God of his word, and we can stand upon it. I know as I was listening to the news the other day of the floods that had occurred in California, one of the guys, they was all talking about this, and one of the guys looked up and they said, sir, what do you think about this? And he says, I think God lied. And I thought, something just rose up within me. And I said, no, he has not lied. He has not lied. The whole earth is not underwater. God keeps his promises, and he keeps them up to you and I today, and every one of them are ours for the claiming. He said heaven and earth would pass away before his word would ever pass away. He also told us, he said, that the Lord forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and we can depend upon God's word. He is not a man that he should lie. You know, I get very discouraged with people today. You'll see people and they'll promise you all kind of things. Yes, I know we had an appointment set up the other day, and we'll be there such and such a time. Until this good day, I have not seen them. People will just make you promises and do all kind of things, and just bold-faced, just L-I-E to you, you know, and not think a thing about it. But God is not that way to his children. He keeps every promise he's ever made, be it good or be it bad. I've read in the Word of God where there was punishment that was to be sent upon the children of men, but you know there was a condition to meet. If those people would do so and so, then he would release his blessing. And God makes promises to us, but he does not make them without responsibilities. What did it cost, as Brother Durham preached to us this morning, of the lady, the Syrophoenician woman? She had to exercise her faith in every kind of adverse circumstance. First, when they wouldn't talk to her, and you know the story if you were here this morning. If not, the tape's only $3, and I'd ask you to get it and go home and listen to it tonight. It'll bless your heart to know and establish what God can do for you if you'll press in over every circumstance and everything. But we have to do certain things to activate God's promises. First of all, we have to exercise our faith to believe what he said he is going to do, that he is a man of his word. He does not lie, but he will keep his word. And we read, we know that over in Romans 4:21, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This goes back to the story of Abraham, and the scripture just before that said, and he staggered not at the promises of God. The reason many of us go begging and lacking in the things of God is because we'll waver and we'll stagger. But if we will be firm and believe what God said, we can have the whole storehouse of heaven to be outpoured and unleashed upon our lives. life. He has everything that you and I stand for if we will meet our need, if we will meet his conditions. But he puts responsibility on us. He doesn't just pour it out and just foolishly give it away. But he wants your love, and he wants your affection, and he wants your dedication. He wants your commitment, and he wants you to do what you should do for him and spreading the word out across the world. That's why our WMs work so hard to raise their money, is to see that this gospel is preached around the world. And I'm just one that believes that the quicker we can get the money to them and the quicker we can help spread this word, the scripture said that that's just much sooner he will come. And it thrills my soul to know that he is a keeper of his word, and that one day he's going to split those clouds and come back, and he's going to say it's enough of this life. When you think life has got you down, friend, just look up, because there is nothing to look down here for the Christian. Our hope is above. It is not on the things of this world. If I had my roots and things grounded on this earth, I would be very sadly disappointed. But I am glad that we have something that I has not seen yet, and that we just can even peep into of the things that God has prepared for us. Yes, we can stand upon his promises as much as Abraham did when he was called to go and offer his son. Who wants to offer or sacrifice their son? But Abraham knew that if he would act and he would walk in obedience to God, that when he raised that knife, that God would provide for him. And sure enough, the scripture tells us that there in the thicket, the Lord had prepared that sacrifice that was there. Can you imagine the questions that father had to answer when they took that son up there? And he said, well, yeah, but where is the sacrifice? And he says, son, don't worry, the Lord will provide. So whatever situation you find yourself in tonight, stand firmly on God's promise and know that he will meet your need. And if it's a sacrifice that he needs to provide, he will make the way and he will do it. He sent a man fishing one time to supply a need. You see, it took an act. That man had to go fishing for his need to be met. He didn't just drop it in. Now we're in the day of instant things. We've got instant potatoes. We've got instant rice. And we've got instant microwaves that just do anything at the drop of your hand. And that stuff is good, I guess. But it's still good to cook it on the stove a long, long time. And we want everything instant in a can. And I don't know that salvation or anything else comes instantly. We have to do something to obtain God's promises and stand firmly on them. I tell you, you can stand on the rock, Jesus Christ, and he will not shake when the storms come and they beat around you. You don't have to be blown to 1,000 pieces, but you can stand firm and be sure that your anchor holds up on that rock and that solid foundation. I mean, to tell you, all the way through the Bible, he's made promises unto us. One of those being, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord should be saved, right out of Romans 10 and 13. Whosoever would call on the name of the Lord. And in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. That was the first thing, was that salvation that he came to bring. And you say sometimes, oh, I just don't know how this all came about. My goodness, why don't you know? It's because of that sacrifice he made at Calvary. That's why our ladies can go to the jailhouse and they can give forth the gospel, and God will bless it to the hearts and lives and see change come over people. It's because of that forgiveness that the Lord has. I tell you, his word is so full of everything that we need. If you need peace, if you need comfort, if you need anything, he is there to supply that need, to prosper you in every way as your soul prospers. He's got a source, and I'm glad that we can tap into that source that never runs dry. It reminds me of the old colored lady. One day she didn't have a dime to her name, and she was out just a singing up, oh, my father is rich and houses and land. And they went up, and the people, the landowners, began to get curious, and they said, woman, what are you singing about? You got houses, you got land, you know you don't have a thing. She said, oh, yes, I do. She began to tell them, she said, I know the guy that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and that's why I can sing about him. I don't have this world's goods, but I've got goods over there, and that's where our goods ought to be tonight, not to be laid up down here. The scripture tells us that one day the moth and the rust will destroy them. But what is laid up on the other side is what's going to count for the Lord. And your treasure's there. Where our heart is, there your treasure's going to be. And I tell you what, I've got very few down here, don't you? Because this is not the end of the story. I've read the last pages of the book, and I know how it's going to turn out. And I'm going to share that little pot of gold with you at the end of this message if I don't get carried away and raptured first. But anyway, we see how good God is. He is a God who is not slack concerning his promises. He never backs off from that promise that he made. If he promised good, then he's going to promise good and do that good. If it was bad, he tells us how it was because he's left us examples in his word. He didn't leave us down here just to flounder around and wonder where we were going or what we were going to do, but he left us his divine inspired word as our pattern, as our example, our roadmap that would lead us on and let us know how the thing is going to come out. And I'm a bad one for reading the first and the last chapter, and if that's good, I may go to the middle of the book, and if that's good, I may read the entire book. But let me tell you, folks, I've read through this, and I know what it says, and I have put these things in practice and know that it works, and there is not a thing that I have not found that God could not do. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him, whatever our needs is. He also promised, he is long-suffering to us, and I'm so glad the Lord's long-suffering. If I was God, sometimes I'd just spit on Dolores and wipe her out. But he's long-suffering with me, and he's gentle, and he's merciful unto me, just like he is to you. And I'm glad for the mercies and the gentleness of God and his faithfulness unto the children of men. And we can stand upon his promises to be filled with his Holy Spirit, and thank God we can have the same kind of experience they had back in Acts 2:38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How come? Because the promise is unto you and who else? Your children, who else? And to those that are far off, and who else on out from there, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That was no end of it. And if anybody tries to persuade you that it ended at the day of Pentecost, friends, send them to me, because I know better. He said he would do it to you, he would do it to your children, he would go and he'd send it to as many as all as the Lord our God shall call. It's a universal thing, and it's for everybody, and everybody needs it. If you do not have that gift residing in your heart and your life tonight, I want you to come down to this altar tonight, because God has a great gift that he wants to just open up and pour all over you. That'll set your feet to running for the Lord. It'll set your cup to flowing over, and he will put something within your soul that the world can't give you and it cannot take away. He will bless you abundantly so that you can be that vessel that can be opened up, spilled out and poured out to bless somebody else along the way. Yes, it is for us today, and don't let anybody persuade you that it's any other way, but you stand firm in that. And as a result of his Holy Spirit's outpouring, he will give you lots of little fruits and lots of little gifts and lots of little packages that go with it, like gentleness, meekness, temperance, kindness, patience, long-suffering, meekness, and a whole bunch more, whatever they are tonight, you know. And oh, I'm glad for all those things that God has. And I'm sure there's many times when he's ministered to me through things that I never did read right there. But he was always right there in that time to do exactly what is needed. And we can stand firmly upon God's word for healing too, because it was purchased for us. Back there in Isaiah we find where it's prophesied, and it was says in Isaiah 5:3, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Healing is the children's bread today. We saw it in the sermon this morning. Thank God for that message today. That just set me off running real good. All to think how she pressed her way in. Ladies, men, women, boys, and girls, you can exercise your faith to believe God for a miracle for someone else. As this mother did for her child. Oh, you can exercise your faith to see that individual healed. God purchased it. It's ours, and it was purchased for us at Calvary. It's not something that has to be gone over again, but he purchased that for us at Calvary. And you know, people today not only need healing of their physical bodies, that's only one of those things. A lot of people today need emotional healings. A lot of people have broken hearts that need to be mended. A lot of people have a lot of needs other than that. Maybe just a heartache. God is the answer to all this world needs. And we can call upon him and stand firmly on his word and on his promise. And he will not fail. His word will not fail. He will bring comfort in the times of comfort. He brings forgiveness. He brings guidance. He brings health. He brings a long life. He brings you mercy. He brings you pardon. He brings you peace and plenty and prosperity and preservation and progress, protection, safety. Oh man, spiritual gifts, wisdom, knowledge, whatever you have need of. He purchased all that for us on Calvary. He made it, and it was in the atonement. And if he said it, I'm foolish enough to say, Dolores, you can have it, and you can have it just as it's in a great of abundance as you want it tonight. Because he did it. He purchased it for us. And he meant for us to have those things. Healing in the atonement. So if you have a need tonight, God is here to meet that need. Over and over, we're just reminded so many times in God's word that his promises are sure. And we find even back in Ezekiel, he reminded Ezekiel in 12 and 25, he says, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." Hallelujah! It shall come to pass when the Lord says it. And we find in Jeremiah 1:12 where he says, "I will even hasten my word to perform it." And there's been times when I've really needed something from the Lord. And I'd pour my soul out to the Lord and I said, "Now, Lord, hasten it on. I need it right now, Lord." And you know, when we get desperate, sometimes we hit the point and we hit the panic button many times. But God is never late. He's always on time. He is never late. Didn't he get there in time for Abraham for the sacrifice? Hasn't he always been on time? He was right there for the woman at the well who came seeking a water. Yes, she came seeking the natural water. But he said, "Woman," he said, "I want to give you something that will be within you, a well of living water that springeth up out unto eternal life." And he met her need. He was right there when she really needed somebody. And oh, God keeps his word, and he hastens to perform his word. And Solomon, in 1 Kings 8:56, Solomon testified, he says, "There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." And if God promised them unto him, they're for us also today, because he keeps his word. Heaven and earth could pass away, but his word shall never and will never pass away. It's eternal and forever established, not like man's word that's shaky and up today and down tomorrow, but it is ours for the claiming till heaven and earth pass away. And we're reminded tonight of another promise that God gave us. He's given us so many. If we would be painting a rainbow tonight, this is another thing that would go in there, how he has promised to return for his church. Hallelujah. He has promised that he will come. Even back in Acts 1:11, where we see, "And when Jesus ascended up, it said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." He is coming as he had said. Every eye shall see him, and it will happen in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And I thought, you know, the other week as we experienced the terrible tragedy of the shuttle, I thought, Lord, in just that quick of a flash, you're coming back to claim your church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the scripture describes it. Then we, which are alive, are going to be gone, and we're going to meet those others in the air. And oh, wow, the Lord has something so great prepared for us. And in Hebrews 9:28, we read, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He is coming again. But while we remain, the Lord wants us to occupy till he comes. He does not want you to run off out somewhere and pack you up a supply and say, hey, I'm just going to sit out here and wait for the Lord to come. No, that is not what the Lord wants done. He left us a commission in Mark 16:15 where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what our duty is as we remain and as we watch for the Lord. He didn't mean for us just to go out there and just keep our eyes glued to the skies. You might go blind if you did that very long. But just keep busy for the Lord. Go and tell and let every creature know that's our job. And that will help hasten his return. If we'll just do it, that'll hasten him coming on back just a little bit sooner. We must occupy till he comes. We have a job to do. And we find that in the book of Revelations, we can tell you tonight how the story ends. And I got so blessed. This was just dropped in my heart this morning as I thought about this. Over in the 21st and the 22nd chapter, we'll not read the whole thing. But I just went through there and I saw where we'd have a city that was going to be a four square, and its building, its walls, in the building, its walls were jasper, and here's where that pot of gold comes in at the end of the rainbow, where it says, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. It goes on to say, and the walls of the city, it was not enough that the walls of the city are jasper, but they're going to be garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then the 12 gates in verse 21 says they're going to be pearls. And I'd love to see the orchard that produced that, wouldn't you? 12 gates of pearls. But you know, God doesn't need any of those things. He has his own way. And let me tell you, he has top quality for everything he does. The purest gold, the best pearls. And there'll not be a temple there. We won't have to go to heaven and have a building program, brother, and build everybody a little corner and a little section down here for this one. Else. But it will be a place where there is no need for a temple. You're going to be so busy when you get to heaven. Ladies, you think you're busy now. Oh, gear up, man. You are just beginning, and that's why I'm just trying to run as fast as I can so that I'll be ready to just do it right on over into the glory side. You know, I think I'm just going to run right out on this life and just run into the next one and keep on running. Because, oh, there is so much prepared for us to do. And he tells us there's only 30 minutes of silence there. And I worry sometimes about what I'm going to do when I get there for 30 minutes. Okay, this says the city needs no sun. Doesn't need the moon to shine. Because the Lamb is the light. I mean, Brian Utilities, REA, whatever they have in their fuel adjustments, we won't have that anymore. We're going to have the bright and shining Lamb to light the path for us. People of every nation are going to be there. And verse 24 says, verse 25, and the gates will never be shut. You can't shut them. Oh, man, there will be no thieves to come in. So you can just leave everything wide open. Your mansion door can just stay ajar all the time if you just please to be that way. You won't have to put anything in the lockbox at the bank. And you won't have to have security systems. You won't have to have theft insurance because there won't be, we'll all be Christians there. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Nobody to steal. Nobody. And the best part of it all, it comes when he restores that paradise that he tells us about in Revelation 22, verse 3. And there will be no more curse. Thank God. There will be no more twisted limbs. No more broken bodies. No more cancer. No more muscular dystrophy. No more leprosy. No more anything anymore.
Friends, you won't even have an ache or a pain, and I can't hardly wait to get there to exercise my limbs because there won't be any pain. Praise the Lord. And his name shall be in their foreheads. There will be no night there. You won't need any candles anymore, neither the sun. But he's going to reign and rule supreme. He's going to light that city. Friend, do you believe God keeps his word tonight? What do you have need of tonight for the Lord to do for you? Because he's right here. He will be merciful unto you tonight. And I like what he will begin to perfect those things that you need perfected in your life tonight. If you need peace, let the Lord give you peace. If you need comfort, let him do that to you. If you need the Holy Spirit, get your bodies down here tonight and get it, because he's here to baptize you. If you need salvation, we have traced it through tonight. He's got everything that we have need of tonight. And one day, and he just says, come and partake. And I like what it closes with in 22, Revelation 22 and 17. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is given freely to you tonight. And if our musicians will come, whatever you stand in need of tonight, God is here. We've got enough of people here to pray and believe God to meet any kind of need that you could present tonight, because we serve a God that knows no end. They have just perplexed you. You need not leave here the same as you have came tonight, with those burdens and those things that are perplexing you. But he's invited us to come and roll them off on him. If you have a sickness and a disease in your body tonight, he's here and he's willing tonight. He stands ready to meet your need as we stand tonight. Perhaps you have a need of healing. You need the Holy Spirit. You need anything tonight. The altars are open tonight as we stand tonight. Just feel free to make your way to this altar tonight. We have plenty of people that will pray until you get the victory tonight over whatever it is that you stand in need of tonight. He is here to meet every need. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that we have, Lord, that we can extend, Lord, that invitation as you did to say, come. Come and drink freely. Come without money and without price and be satisfied. Father, we just thank you tonight to minister, Lord, in every area of every heart and life here tonight. Lord, there are those that have wrestled with problems. There are those that have wrestled with financial needs. There are those, oh God, that have battled disease in their body. And Lord, tonight they have determined that they will put the enemy down and that they will stand upon your promises, Lord, to meet that need. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it for your children. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. His storehouse is full. He has promised tonight to supply every need that we have for spirit, soul, mind, and body. God will meet your need. He will not fail. Friend, if you need anything from the Lord, feel free to come and claim what you need from God tonight, because he's here to meet it. We'll pray with you. We'll get an elder to pray with you, whatever we need to do. But we want to believe with you tonight that God is going to grant the miracle and work in your life that thing that you need to have worked out tonight. Or maybe you have a friend tonight that you'd like to come and stand in for tonight, that you would like to for us to believe God with you for. If you have a need of any kind, do not hesitate tonight to come and roll it on the Lord tonight. You're not big enough to carry the burdens and the problems that perplex us on every hand, but Jesus will bear that burden for you. He's asked you to come and roll it off on him. Let him bear that burden. Commit it to him. Then trust in him and rely on him tonight to meet that need. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. To leave.
them, feel free to do that.